Thank you guys, man, for letting Jesus just shine through you all in song today, man, to lift us up in worship, that we might be reminded, God Almighty, you love us. Not because we deserve it, but because you love us. Now, as we grow in our understanding of what does it mean to love? What does it mean to engage in love? What does it mean to connect with the love of God? Remember, love does not, it does not live in evil. It doesn't reside there. It doesn't rejoice there. Remember, love does not rejoice in what? Evil. But it rejoices with the truth. So part of it is, we're proposing to you for you to contemplate, chew over, receive, hopefully. That guess what? You're going to have to decide to get into truth if you're really going to understand a real definition of love. Last week, did you come to this point? Love has got to be more than a feeling. It's got to be more than just a feeling. Love is more than the tangles. And I want you to get, and I want you to really think about that. You say, oh, Pastor Steve, you're just carrying on. You know how much during the week I see relationship broken over and over and over again because people think love has a certain emotional expression and they really don't know that love can be trusted. Love will take you through what you do not understand. Let me back that up just a minute. Love will take you through what you do not what? Understand. Let me ask you something. Who's in control, God or us? God, I believe that. How many of y'all believe that God's probably got it figured out and we don't have it figured out? Okay, these are important understandings. Now, if we really say that, then we got to trust who? God. Let me help you. Love, always trust. Boy, that makes love totally different than us. Let me ask you something. How many of you all have been burned by another human being? You trusted them, man, they blew it. How many of y'all have had that scenario in your life? I mean, they blew it. You got betrayed. Raise your hand again if you've been betrayed. I want y'all to look around. I want y'all to, where the rest of y'all been without your hands? Have y'all don't live or something? Well, y'all just stay online all the time? Facebook friends, you don't have any flesh friends? You know, just watch this. You've been betrayed. Now, watch this. I bet not as many hands go up as quick. Did you notice how quick everybody's hands went up? Me. I've been hurt. I've been betrayed. I've been dissed on. I've been disrespected. And our hands go up quick on that. Now, let's see how quick they go up on this one. How many of you have betrayed somebody? Ooh, it's 11 o'clock. It's an honest congregation. You know, a lot of that's honestly. Now, watch. Here's what I'm trying to tell us. We don't love like we can naturally. And so if we really want to love, if you will, let's go to another level of love. And that would be, I really need to be more engaged to my supernatural understanding of love because my natural understanding really won't take me to where God is. I'm going to have his love for him to take me to where he is. Now watch this. Here's why I love Jesus. You can trust Jesus. Jesus has never lied to me, and Jesus never lied to you, and Jesus cannot lie. I will tell you, though, we will lie. What do you think? In fact, we live in a culture of lies. In fact, we'll even listen to people lying to us if we like them, and they make us feel good, and we even know they're lying, but it feels good. We got to be careful because love doesn't live in lies. And let me tell you what lies do. They don't protect and you can't trust them. Have you noticed that? But love always trusts. God's promise will. Here I am. God's promise will. It will be there. Now check this out. We'll tell you a little story about a trusted guy who understood the love of God. Now, this is going to be a little different because sometimes when we say love, how many of y'all wanted to just ooze with, you know, sweet fragrances and rose petals and this idea of romance and love. And you know that, hey, that's good for a week. It's called a honeymoon, but you can't make a marriage on that. I mean, if I was to take Elizabeth somewhere special every week, then it wouldn't be what? Elizabeth, wouldn't be special. But it's a difference in that and having to live out everyday life, yeah? Well, ladies, what if this was your assignment? Let me give you a little bit of background. We're going to Genesis 15 and then over to Genesis 22. And God's going to make a promise. God's going to release his people through a barren woman. That sounds just like who? God. Because God's got a habit of taking nothing and making something. You know, I say thank God. Because I am nothing, and in the grace of Jesus Christ, I get to become what? Something. An instrument of his grace. Isn't that awesome? So if you don't mind, if you just kind of look over to them and say, hey, you can be something. Go ahead and just tell them. Not like the army. Just tell them, you can be something. Go ahead and tell them. Come on. Y'all talk among yourselves. Y'all sitting there staring. Y'all look like one of them staring churches. To participate in the love of God is to trust God. Abraham trusted God. Remember God called Abraham and said, hey, I want you to go. He went. And then Abraham is in this situation. He got his wife named Sarah. But Sarah got a problem. And it was Sarah's problem. She's in her 90s. And ladies, oh, this was just horrible back in this ancient culture. If you couldn't bear a child, people really thought something was wrong with you. And it was very crushing emotionally. And Reverend Bailey, she is without child and she's in her 90s. Now, imagine being in your 90s. And this is your story. Abram, I'm going to start my people through you. I'm going to descend through you, and your wife will be pregnant. And Abraham's in his 90s, and Sarah's in her 90s. So God delivers this wonderful world. Now, how many of you all would just be treasuring that in your heart? God's called me in my 90s to have a child. Elizabeth, our babies are now grown up. What if the Lord says 50 years from now, Elizabeth, I would like for you to be pregnant again. I know what I'm saying. Lord, I'm leaving. Okay, but can you imagine, wait, ladies, can you imagine being 90 years old and the call of God in your life is pregnancy? I mean, the Lord might call upon you, Jennifer. I mean, your two daughters are on to college now, married, on to life. The Lord may say, let's go one more time. That's what a lot of people... You know, I don't hear a lot. I was talking about this passage one time at a senior adults conference, and I didn't see any ladies in the 80s going, man, I wish God would tell me that. I mean, can you imagine walking around when you walk her 90 years old pregnant? Sarah is pregnant. Hold on, I want to show you something with God, because I want you to be careful. Listen. I love you all deeply, man, and God's speaking into your all's lives, and God's doing something special in this congregation. And I don't want you to lose it. Don't ever box God in. Because you see, the medical manual said, Sarah, you can't have a baby. History said, Sarah, you're not going to have a baby. Other religions said, that is impossible. But God said, possible. And Sarah conceives this child named Isaac. But hold on. Before we get that far, Abraham and Sarah got a little worried that God's promise of having a child wasn't going to come through, so they decided to help God. How many of y'all have ever helped God? I'm going to lean in over here with our young brothers and sisters just so I can talk to my young sisters in the Lord. How many of y'all have ever prayed this prayer? Dear Lord, I need you to send me the godly man of my life, and his name is... Huh? That's not a prayer of surrender to God, is it? How many of you men have ever said this? Lord, I need a wife that loves you. And she's right over there in the corner. See that right there? That one. Yes, Lord. Then we all go Pentecostal. I'm naming her and claiming her in the name of Jesus. Now, Professor Obie, Coach Professor Obie, consultant Coach Professor Obie now. That's not surrendering to who? See, that lacks trust. Well, let me tell you what happened. I got to preface this, Gary Dale. I got to preface this because I don't want anybody to get confused in today's times. Back then, will you all say that with me? Back then. Now, not everybody saying that. I don't want you to get in trouble. Back then, not now. Let's try that together, okay? Back then, not now. Y'all with me? Adam, back, not. It was permissible for the father of the household to take on a maid servant and bear child. Back, not. Governor of California. See? Back, not. Okay, y'all good. Because I could just see somebody showing up, hey, that's pretty good. I'm going to give me one of them maid servants, man. Everything going to work out. Your name ain't Abraham. And your wife's not Sarah. And this is God. But they tried to help God out. Well, here's the way they helped God out. They had a child named Ishmael from a maid servant named Hagar. And now you hear about Ishmael every night on TV. Because he is the forefront of Islam. Moral of the story. Ready? The love of God and the power of God. God does not need our assistance. He needs our trust. God does not need us to assist him. Have you noticed? Anytime we've got ready to assist him, it doesn't go well. You know, like when Job starts a little bit and God goes, Job, you were there when I put all the oceans in motion. No. So you were there when I planted the zillions of stars into the galaxies that you can't even see. I think I'll let you be God. Now, I want to tell you something. Be very careful. And I highly honor all of y'all's academic pilgrimages. Your pastoral staff here, we have alphabets in front of our names. And let me help you with those alphabets. They mean absolutely nothing other than this. We went to school for a long time. They will not make us faithful. They don't make us smarter than anybody else. It just means we concentrated on one thing for a long time. Billy, that's all it means. In fact, some of my best Bible teachers don't even know where the seminaries are located. Their understanding of God, in my opinion, is more textually relevant and more accurate to the Word of God because they have tattered Bibles from the dust of life versus theories from the antiseptically clean classroom. And the Bible was not written from a classroom nor on theory. It was written from the very dusty reality of everyday life. And guess what? It's where God comes through. He does crazy things. He tells women who can't get pregnant that they're going to be the father of his chosen people. Well, they'll be the mother, but, you know, helping Abraham out. She gets pregnant. She bears a child named Isaac. And then if you look at Genesis 15, he gives this understanding because he said, from you, Abraham, from you I will bring my people, not from your maidservant, but from you. And the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. Ishmael is not the heir. He is not the firstborn. Isaac is the firstborn of Sarah, your wife. He is the one of the descendants. Now, some of y'all want to go get into fairness and justice and all this junk. That is not what the Lord said. He chose Isaac because that's the way God put it in motion. He chose the Jews. Why? You ready for this? Cause. That's who he chose. Now, when you're God, guess what you can do? You can do what you want to. So where does that leave us? I cannot do what I want to because I'm not what? There you go. Now, a lot of you do what you want to because you think you're God. How many of y'all have ever thought you were God? Oh, how many of y'all have never lied? Here's what we do when we think we got. How many of y'all went ahead and helped God out because he didn't have an understanding of the situation? Oh, so we thought we were who? Or let's push it this far. We thought we knew as much as God. We do this a lot of times when we get, and let me tell you who's the worst at it. Guess who's the worst at thinking they're God? Religious people. when Jesus was revealed here on earth, who thought they knew more than Jesus? Thank you. Was that Tyler? Tyler, you're correct again. Tyler gets an A most ever 11 o'clock service. But that doesn't mean anything, Tyler, unless you know who. Jesus. Oh, he's got it. There you go. That's a double A. Now check this out. The Pharisees and the Sadducees who held all statute knowledge of God. They knew the Torah. They knew the book. If you did a scroll drill with them, they would win. They knew the scrolls really well. They had the libraries down, but they couldn't see God standing in front of their face. You know why? They wanted God according to them. Warning, 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 warning. That has gone on all through history. God according to us. Now let me define that for you. God according to us is not God. Because God just says, well, here, I'll show you what he says. He's got a name and he's got a function. He's got a name, he's got a function. Check this out. It's crazy cool. He said, listen, now your offspring will be exactly as I said it would be. It's going to be coming from your own body. And you know what he tells him? He takes him. And I want you to see what happens here. It's amazing. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars if indeed you can count them. He said, your descendants will be as many as those stars that you can't even calculate. This, he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Now, how many of y'all understand that part of love is just believing the Lord? I know y'all hear this every Sunday, but guess what? You're going to hear it this Sunday, too. How many of y'all can just believe the Lord that he wants to forgive us of our sins? And quit telling God how bad your sins are. Some of you go, well, God doesn't understand me because I struggle with addictions. You reckon he doesn't get addictions? Well, God doesn't understand me because I fall in and out of relationships. He gets it. He gets it so much. He wants to forgive you with all of his passion. Can you believe God? I'm telling you. God's love can be trusted. What do you think about it? The power of God's love can be trusted. You know what? I guarantee you, here's Elizabeth, and I'm going to talk real straight. So don't get all worked up here. Those of you fixing to get married, I want you to listen to this. Adam, Bray, Rebecca, John, y'all got this. Listen to this. This is from marriage. Elizabeth, have you had some days in your marriage, although you married probably one of the most extraordinary husbands that could ever be, have you had some days in your marriage where the only thing you could trust was God's love? Let me help you. I know she's had those days because I know her husband. And you know why I know she's had those days? I've had some of those days where I've said the only reason that I'm going to stay with you is because our covenant is not signed in ink, but it's signed in the blood of Jesus, and his love can be trusted. Let me help you with this. I just say, for some reason, I have a lot of young pastors calling me now, asking for, you know, tutelage. And I didn't even have the audacity of some of them even say things like this. When you were a young pastor, what you talking about? Has he been at it long? I said, yeah, I've been at it a while. What I'm asking you the other day, he goes, well, I can't believe this. I got people that don't like me. I said, you mean you went into ministry and you thought that it was going to be, everybody was just going to like you? Because he grew up in a howdy doody church where everybody was like really polite to each other. So he thought people liked preachers. He never saw the behind the scenes stuff. And then he had this theology that if you followed Jesus Christ, everything was going to be wonderful and hunky dory and nothing was ever bad. I said, listen, he goes, well, I've had some people burn me in my church. I said, don't trust them. I said, I've read the Bible. The Bible doesn't call me to trust people. It calls me to trust who? Jesus. You know what I trust in Elizabeth? The Jesus in her. And you know what she trusts in me? Jesus. Because she calls him forth every once in a while. She says, Lord, I know you're in this dude somewhere. come out and make him behave like you've made him and not like he wants to. I'm telling you, believing God changes your life. I can't imagine this. My son happens to be in this service, and I can't imagine this. I remember writing a paper on this text when I was just married to Elizabeth. I remember preaching this text when I had a son. That changed the understanding of this text. Well, I was in seminary, I could talk about all the theological issues of this text. Yeah, after I had a son, it became almost unimaginable. Abram gets a call from God, and God calls him out. Genesis 22. He calls him out, and he's given him a promise. And guess what? The promise is right in front of him. And then he calls him, and he's going to test him to see where he stands with God. Sometime later, Genesis 22, sometime later, God tested Abram. God tested Abraham. Who tested him? God. Now wake up. There are some tests from God. If you think life, and the reason I talk to these young people, because y'all are going head first into life, okay? There are going to be some tests, and they are tougher than finals. If you blow apart and need 5 hours of therapy to get through a finals week, it's probably going to be a bumpy life for you. There's some real tests in life, and God sets some of them up. I think he sets all of them up. Mark Hale said something. Pastor Mark Hale, some of you all know Pastor Mark. He's a great guy. He said something. Mark works a lot with grieving and stuff like that. And he said something very profound about 6-7 years ago. A faith not tested cannot be trusted. You remember that, Woody? I remember him saying, don't you know, that was profound, Pastor Mark. It came out of his lips and I thought, man, he's right. I'll die with Elizabeth. Because we've been tested. Watch this. I'll stand with Hillview Heights Church. If there's ever been a church that has been battleship tested, guess what, Billy? You're in it. It started in 1957 as a mission church. It went along for a couple of decades pretty good, and then it ran ashore up on an island. It busted its hull out, and guess what? A lot of the theological religious experts said this place could never live again. They said it would never grow, it would never reach people because it didn't fit their box. They abandoned ship. And God looked at this ship on a little island. We looked like Gilligan and the skipper. We had Ginger and Marianne and the professor. Many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You can see this show on the History Channel. That's how bad it was back in our day. All we had was Ginger and Marianne. Eventually Farrah Fawcett. The reason it's on the History Channel, all of those have gone on to the great beyond. Life moves. This church was on an island. Chuck, the experts, did I tell you the experts, the theologians, the great preachers, and the great church growth people said, this church could never happen. God said, I'll put a child in it. And it's happening. So I know you can trust God. You can trust God over what people say. Amen? People said that I'd be gone from here in 2 years. Many of them said that I'd be fired because I'd say something stupid and y'all would fire me. They didn't know you were people of deep grace. And I've said many stupid things and you said, Lord, forgive him. God stays with us because he can be trusted. And Abraham trusts God with his own son. Parents, I know some of you are entering parenting land. I noticed this morning I was walking through the atrium and it looked like an outbreak of young women with childness, if that's a word. God said, Abraham, here I am. I want you to hear something about God's love. Here I am. Stephen, that's good news, isn't it? Right now, you're a young man. Guess what? You keep taking breath. Guess what's going to happen to you? You could be an old man. They're not always going to run and catch the ball like you do right now. You understand that? That's hard to do at 90. You know what you do at 90? You tell stories about what God did. But guess where God will be when you're 90? Cox, you're rapidly approaching him. What do you think he's going to do then? Here I am. God is always here I am. How many of y'all glad to know that God is always here I am? That God is the great I am. He's the here I am. He's the right now I am. He's the I will be I am. God is here I am. It's amazing what he asked. Passion. Please, guys, do not turn the living word of God into a textbook. That is not a mature thing. That is a stupid thing. This is the living word of God. This really happened. This is not a metaphor. God speaks into Abraham's life, and he says, then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. So my dear friends that are scholars, we've had debate on this text. Where was Abraham's fight? Got one of my friends, he said, you know, I don't think Abraham fought enough for Isaac. I argue, wait a second, I think Abraham knew who Isaac was. I said, you're misreading Abraham. You're trying to look at Abraham. This story's not about Abraham. This is not about a great Abraham. This is about a great God. This story is not about Isaac. This story is about a great God who sends a promise. This story is not about how Sarah wept and mourns and in the emptiness and the loss of a child. This is about a great God that says, here I am. And whatever he says leads to life, whether it agrees with me or not. Sometimes God tells us to stay, and we say, what? Why, God? He says, you'll know in a little while. Some of us bail out. Some of us bail out because of pain. And I want you to know that there's pain in life. And I know right now when I speak that to y'all, y'all look at me and think I've lost my everlasting mind. I know we could fill the church up 3 or 4 times the size we have it right now if I would just give you all a sugar gospel and lie to you and tell you that if you follow Jesus, you're going to get more money, more life, and you're going to be happy ever after. That's not true. That's Disney. That's not true. And if I tell you something like that, you will feel better. You'll feel better about yourself. You can walk around in an illusion, but you'll never know love because love lives in truth. Amen. The truth is God gave Isaac. And the truth is God appointed Abraham. And Abraham had enough faith and said, okay, God, it's not my child, it's yours. Parents, I want to tell you one thing. Elizabeth and I didn't raise children. We were given 2 children by God. And we felt that from the moment we felt that womb come to life. That's God's boy. That's God's girl. After we had Clancy, we said, Lord, please, we beg your mercy no more. We begged off this Simon, Lord, please, that's enough. After Clancy, it was enough. We said, Lord, our flesh is weak. We can't make it. That's enough, Lord. He gave us 2. And guess what? He gave us the responsibility to connect them to him. Parents, you want to change your world? It's just an observation I have. Parents treat children as trophies. And that's why you get so mad when they strike out. And that's why moms go crazy and kung fu fight each other over some beauty contest or singing contest or dance fighting or whatever you're into. And we say, parents, we'll say, oh, our child is a child of the Lord. And we'll give them 50 hours of soccer and none of Jesus. We'll say we want our children to know the Lord, and we'll pour into them academically, and they'll know not what the Word of God says. Because you know what? Your children are the promise of the here I am God. Yeah? You know why I trust God and used to trust God, and I highly recommend trust God. Why? He's the here I am God. How many of y'all need to hear that a little bit? Here I am. How many of y'all have ever asked this question? Lord, where have you gone? Lord, where are you? You ever gotten in a mess in your life where you're just like, Lord, where are you? And sometimes when we get quiet enough, guess what we'll hear from heaven? Here I am. Oh, You mean like you've been sitting like right here the whole time?
Yeah.
Well, why hadn't you done anything? Because you ain't shut up. You can't hear me because you're trying to tell me what to do. You're trying to tell me what I'm supposed to believe. You're trying to tell me how I'm supposed to do it. He said, don't you understand? I'm a God that can get 90-year-olds pregnant. I'm a God that parts the Red Sea. I'm a God that is unwilling to be confined by your observation. With me, nothing is impossible. Here I am. Abraham apparently has a great sense of who God is, because guess what he does? He gets the wood, he gets the servants, and he takes Isaac to be sacrificed. What's he doing? Doing what God asked him to do. Some of you, I can't imagine this. I can't either. But it is. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. Let's see. Now, Abraham realized what God said, and what did he do? He went and did something about it. I just want to help you all with love. Love is not a Hallmark card. And let me tell you what love does. It stays put, and it gets through. And if this generation has one problem, I'm going to call you out on your problems. Y'all don't finish anything. True or false? Y'all go get your first job, and in 2 months, you've abandoned that job. Why? Why? Well, somebody didn't like me. Nobody likes a lot of people. Listen, I want you to just wake up. Not everybody going to like you. You say, well, I'm a beautiful, sweet girl. Good. You'll have a few people like you. And other women will hate you. Because you're a beautiful, sweet, pretty girl. Am I not telling the truth? But our job is not to see how popular we can be. Somebody hearing me today, I'm going to preach, but I'm going to be finished here quick, so pay attention. How many of you all realize that the purpose of our lives, our breath, the passion of God in us, is not to see how popular we could be? But I wonder what would happen if a group of people say, how faithful could we be, God? Abraham's crazy. He packs wood. He cuts the wood. He goes and does something. Man, I'm going to preach it again. If this is love, Shane, you loved at the first of this year. You've always loved, but you really loved at the first of this year, didn't you? You felt like God wanted to send you to Costa Rica. We had a feeling and an understanding, didn't we? When we got to Costa Rica 6 weeks in, we knew exactly why God sent you there, didn't he? Did Pastor Mark or I brief you before you left? Shane, our Costa Rican pastor is going to die, and you'll need to be there on that night to help bring through things. Was that in our plans? Shane, I want to honor you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because guess what you did not do? You did not bail out when things got tough. Continue on, son, in that format, did you? He didn't call and say, well, Pastor Dave and Mark, the situation's gotten very difficult down here. And if you'd have done this, I'd have come through the phone line. Don't you tell me God's changed his mind when you espouse all the time that he's a sovereign God. Now, you can't have it both ways. You can't preach this fervent God is sovereign, and as soon as God gets difficult, he changes his mind. Because that means you don't believe him to be sovereign. Don't understand that? That means when he calls you to a job, guess what you got to do? Stay there more than 3 weeks. And when the boss yells at you, guess what you got to do? Please, y'all help me. You got to do what when you get yelled at? Well, you got to keep on. And when the professor says, I'm not sure you're going to make it, guess what you got? Mr. Professor, that may be the case, but God said this is what I was going to do. God said this is what I was going to do. Listen, I know what it's like to about back out. I stood on the lawn of Drew University with Elizabeth. I took her with me because I was scared. The Lord said, go 2x2. I never did like school. It was tough on me. And I get to this academic institution and people are wearing Woolrich stuff. Couldn't find a cowboy boot on the campus. Not even blue jeans. Smart people. Little wire glasses. I looked up there and I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. Remember? I got out of the car and I looked and I said, don't have to do it. Not going to do it. I said, get back in the car. We're going home. Or better yet, we got a couple of days. Let's fly someplace fun. This ain't it. Elizabeth whirled those eyes, possessed with the power of the Holy Spirit. She had an angel up in her. She looked at me and she said, Steve Ayers, God has called you to do this and you're going to do this and quit being a big wimp. I looked at her and said, you know what God spoke through her? Here I am. I said, Lord, why do you want me here? Guess what his answer was? Cause. I said, Lord, I'm not pleased with your answer. And he said, no, I'm not pleased with you. You know why God wasn't pleased with me? I preach a gospel of men who have to take their sons to be sacrificed. And I preach the gospel of God who sent his only son to be crucified on a cross. And I'm having a mental meltdown over an academic institution that we made up in the first place. And I'm having a crumble moment over that, Billy. Guess what Jesus spoke into this pastor's life? Oh, ye a little faith. I said, all right, God, you've called me out and you're God. Let's go to class. Did I have fun? No. Was it pleasurable? No. Was it required? For me, yes. I still don't know why. I'm not supposed to yet. One day I'll know. Make sense? But I'm going to tell you what. Every once in a while we need somebody. Abraham went. He went with his servants. He packed the wood. He carried the fire. He took the knife. And they walked toward this. Look what happens. Amazing, amazing, crazy amazing. He got up and he went. Verse 4 on the third day. What? Did y'all hear that? Let me read it again. Verse 4, 22. On the third day, Abraham, what? On the... Y'all remember any other significant things that happened on the third day? Like maybe the resurrection of the Messiah? What about Jonah when he got eaten by that great fish? Now, I know some of you are going, well, what kind of fish was it? A big enough fish to eat Jonah. That's how big a fish was. That's what kind of fish was. It was a Jonah-eating fish. Out of Isaac's seminary, I had his professor, and we argued over. He didn't believe that the fish was real. He believed that the fish was a metaphor of Jonah's inner struggle and his psychological conquest. Now, I have a word for what I referred for that all that junk to, but I won't use it here in church. And you know what I believe? I believe that God can make a fish big enough to eat Jonah. And I believe Jonah got swallowed, and I believe he stunk, and I believe a big fish threw him up on the side of the other. Now, I can't explain all that scientifically, but I got a God that can create a fish big enough to swallow me if I'm not listening. So if you don't want to smell bad, listen. I even told a professor this. I said, let me tell you how big my God is. I believe he can create a dog big enough to eat you when you walk out of this door. And spit you up in another state. Y'all got a God that big? Now, I know some of you go, well, God would never do that again because he's so loving and nice and he's sweet. He would never want any of us to be turned away or suffer one moment of pain because I watched the Name It, Claim It, Health, Wealth, Blessing channel. And it says, if I just put my hand on the TV screen and believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be driving away with a brand new Cadillac in a matter of 4 days. If y'all believe that stuff, you need help. Would you please read your Bibles? You know why those guys are in business? Because you haven't gone to Bible study. You know why all these false prophets are making a profit? It's because you hadn't simply gone to Bible study. Abraham walking up the hill. Oh, my goodness. He's got Isaac with him. They've cut the wood. They've got the fire. He holds the knife. And Isaac, as he walks with his daddy, as they had before. Abraham says to his servants, we will be back. Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship then and we will come back to you. That's faith. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac. Check this out. Made the boy carry the wood he's going to burn him with. Ouch. That's tough. Sis Coleman, that's tough. They're walking up the hill. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up, and I'm telling you, I could hear Blake asking me a question like this, because Blake was pretty observant. He said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," replied Abraham. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now, I could hear Blake ask me that, but it wouldn't be once. If this was Blake's story, it'd be 14 times, and he'd be on the way up the hill. "Hey, Daddy, where's the lamb?" "I told you, Blake, God will provide." "Well, when's he going to provide?" "When he does." "We've always had a lamb." Now, Blake's so precise, it would have to be the exact kind of lamb we always had. And if we always had a white lamb with no spots on it, and we got a spotted lamb, he'd be telling me we can't use this spotted lamb. I mean, but there'd be a conversation. There'd be a struggle. "God will provide. God will provide. I want to tell you why you can trust God. I want to tell you why you can trust the love of God. I want to tell you why God will reign and God is and why he is the here I am. God will provide." But let me tell you what won't. We won't. Some of you right now, man, you hurt all the time because you've trusted somebody else to give you life. And guess what you found out? They are human just like you. Some of you ladies, bless your hearts. God loves you so much, but you're trying to find a man to make you happy. And you found out God didn't make one to make you happy. He made one to pester you. You men struggle all the time saying, "If I just had the right woman, I'd get a life." Read the Bible. There is no woman that brought life to a man. No, not one. So when y'all come screaming in my office telling me, "I can't live without her," guess what I'm going to tell you? Yeah, you can. Now, it might not be fun, but you can't. Because she's not God. And you're not God. Parents, I'm going to let you in on another problem. Would you please let your children know they're not God? And by the way, while I'm talking about children, and they're not angels either. They're little human rugrats full of sin. You know I'm telling the truth, don't you? Sneaky. I know, Elizabeth, you hate to hear that. Yours too. I knew my kids had bad in them. You know why? I know their father. Somebody asked me one time, "Do you know your kid did this?" I said, "Surprised me he hadn't done more." He said, "Why?" I said, "I know the DNA he's running with. Praise be to God. God's got him checked. God's got her checked. God's got me checked." My son, man, if I've got Abraham's call right here, you know what he does? He ties the son up. Faith. You got enough faith one day to bind your son's hands and his feet and lay him on the altar? Now, most of us, we might get that far, and then we're going, "All right, where's the lamb? Surely, I'm waiting for..." No lamb. He raised the knife. He reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from him, from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am." Abraham, Abraham, here I what? Am. That's enough, isn't it? He put down the knife. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Following God's a tough deal. It's pretty interesting to say God is everything until he asks you to put your son on the altar, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier to sing, "Lord God Almighty." It's a lot easier to sing that old hymn, "I Surrender All," isn't it? Until he says, "And that includes Isaac." It's a lot easier to follow God when he's cooperating with our plans than it is when he goes, "Here I am. Hold on. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. It's amazing. It has been. In that same location, the Father who art in heaven. A few years later in history, looked down at his only son. And when the spear of the Roman soldier was held back, he said, "Puncture him." And from his side, the blood of forgiveness poured forth. Remember in the Gospel of John? Blood and water. And the living water of God became possible. Because what we cannot do, God will. Isn't it amazing how the First Testament and the Second Testament look like they're written by the same person? Gee, it's because they are. God Almighty, taking us where we need to be in spite of where we find ourselves. God has a love that can be what? Trusted. Not without pain. Not without great doubt at times. But guess what? It makes it. Isn't that neat? Application. For those of you all entering into marriage or have just started your marriage, trust Jesus Christ. His love for you is greater than the love you have for each other. He will take you through a lifetime. He's a God of covenant. That's the here I am. Check us out. Some of you all ask, "Pastor Steve, why should we still support Israel?" My theology doesn't support that. I don't care about your theology. I don't care about what you think. You see, I know a God who made a promise to Abraham, and from Abraham came Jesus, and I reign in grace, and God said he was going to bless those people, and he does. And so I don't turn against what he said, whether I understand it or not, Billy. I was asked by some of my Jewish friends, they go, "Why do you support us?" And I said, "Well, it's not because of some special thing you've done. It is because of what God said. You shall, period." Well, guess what? God still made a promise. I live in one today. Lenny, you live in one. What's our promise?
Be faithful.
Yeah, and if we're faithful, where are we going to end up together? Go to the end of the whole deal. Where do we end up together?
Go to heaven.
Good. Don't make it any more complicated than that. We go to heaven. You don't have to have a favorite millennial prophecy to go to heaven. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter. Here's what you need to know. Do you know that you've sinned? Here I am. Do you know that you are broken? Here I am. Do you know you can't get to heaven all by yourself? Here I am, says the Lord. You know what he says? The here I am said this. If you'll repent of your sin, that means this. You have come to the conclusion that you need God in your life and you are sorry for the way you've been living. And you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin." Guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to forgive you. Now, let me be clear. The altar does not provide salvation. The baptistry does not provide salvation. It'll blow you away. Now, here's where some of you will start flinching, because this is what you really worship. The book in print does not. You can take a Bible and put it on a cross, and it won't raise in 3 days. The Word became flesh. That's the miracle. And because the Word became flesh, now we have print. But without the Word becoming flesh, there is no print. There is no story. There is no resurrection. There is no possibility. There is no promise. There is no here I am. But because the Word became flesh and His name is Jesus and He dwelled among us, the Word is here and the here I am is here. So that means anybody, whosoever. How many of y'all need to get rid of your sinful stuff, your dead stuff, your stuff that's not working, your stuff that can't be trusted, and say, Lord Jesus? Now, I hear some of you talking, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, I'm an addict. Let me help you with addictions. That's called sin. You know why I call it sin? Sin gets forgiven and healed. And y'all know if you hang out at Hillview for too long, we let you go ahead and talk that jazz, and then after a while we give you the truth. We don't have addicts at Hillview. We have children of God who have weakness with addictions. We got to call it right. I'm a child of God, but I got some weaknesses. How many of y'all, child of God, got some weaknesses, though? I got some places I got to stay away from because I'll end up being what I'm not made to be in those places. Any of y'all got that problem, too? I got that problem. Anybody got that problem? Come on, let's get real. How many of y'all got some weak places? Yeah, good deal. Well, guess what God does with weak places? Puts the here I am there. How many of y'all, if you get tempted to a weak place, you need to hear, here I am. Oh, yeah, Lord, what do we need to do? Why don't you step on back? Yes, sir. Get out of there. Lord, why do you not want me in there? You know what he says, Stahl? Because that's not where I am. I'm here. And you're with me. Isn't that neat? Some of you have already received Jesus Christ. I want you to just thank him for saving you. Is everybody clear on that? I know I go over it every week, but guess what? People get confused. I still have people coming up to me during the week over at the minute mark. Pastor Steve, if I'm a good person, will I go to heaven? No. Well, I only cuss on Fridays. Well, I don't smoke more than a pack. If I roll one, I keep it in the basement. I didn't think I knew about that, did you? Here's what's so sad. Y'all think young people are the only ones rolling one. The hippies of the 60s are the senior adults of today. We got some 60-year-olds still kicking back, riding a magic balloon with Puff the Magic Dragon. Wondering why they never had a life. You know why drugs are popular for a lot of people? It's just so sad. We would rather embrace the illusion of our feelings than the reality of God's promise. So guess what? I'm really calling in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of y'all come out of illusion land. Love is not a feeling. It is a promise from God that protects you for eternity and can be trusted throughout eternity. God loves us. And the more we allow God to love us and understand the love of God, the more we'll protect and the more we'll trust. Amen? Amen. All right. Any questions today? Tough lesson. Did this really happen? Yes. Did Jesus really die on a cross? Yes. If I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, will I still have painful moments in my life? Yes. Will I get through them? And no matter what happens in life, will I end up in heaven? If you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, good catch. If Jesus is in me, where do I end up? Tell me, church, if Jesus is in me. Heaven. What's the only way to get there? Jesus. So watch this. I don't know any special people. That's why I disappoint some of you when you get celebrity pastors and stuff you get all enthralled with. But guess what? They're the same sinner saved by the same blood of Jesus as you. Why are you so impressed? Now, I make sure you never follow me because I'll get you in trouble. You better follow Jesus. But you better hear what Jesus says out of those who follow him. Here I am. Dave, that's some cool words, isn't it? Here I am. You've been listening to that for several decades now. You know, I compliment Jesus' work in your life. You know, a few decades ago, you weren't in the baptistry. But is it not true that a few decades ago, you weren't listening always to the here I am? I wasn't either. I found it better, girls. Listen, Y'all want to one day grow up? I mean, you're growing up, okay, but you're not grown yet, okay? Is that fair? How would y'all like to have the husband of God's dreams for you? Well, ask him for him. He'll send that one. But don't show him who it is. I bet he's big enough to know. What do you think? And if he sends you a guy that's not as attractive as you want, that may be the one that's best for you. And you may look and say, God, we'll have ugly babies. But God will say, no, I'm going to take what you think is ugly and make something what? Come on. Y'all hate it when I get real, don't you? How many of us have avoided what God wants in our lives for what we think is right? I'll end on this. I know in my life, I would have missed, and Elizabeth would have missed, the greatest blessing in our life if I had listened to my circumstances. And guess what that great blessing is? You. There was no human logical reason for Elizabeth and I to come and be at Hillview Heights Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. None. There was just one thing. Elizabeth remembers this. Here I am. I said, Lord, they ain't got no money. Here I am. Lord, they fire preachers all the time, and I'm liable to get fired from a loose church, much less a tight wound one. Here I am. Lord, what about Bowling Green? I grew up here. People know my... Here I am. Well, Lord, the seminary says, here I am. Well, Lord, I don't know. Here I am. But Lord, don't you... Here I am. Jamie, is it logical for you to be here? That's why I love you. You're not logical. You're faithful. I told the truth today. It's a tough text. What about Sam? If you had to walk Sam up, not to Boy Scout camp, but to the hill of sacrifice. I mean, if you listen to the focus on family, they tell you not to do that. Because they tell you it's all about the family. If you listen to an Americanized gospel, what's Americanized gospel tell you? It's all about family and relationships. However, when I read about God, it ain't all about family. In fact, very little of it is. We made that up. I mean, it goes along with the house and, you know, two kids, dog and a cat, white picket fence, and an illusional life called the American dream. What about the godly life? It says, I'm going to surrender myself to God no matter what. Make sense? All right, just one more check. Maid servants are off limits in today's culture. Everybody checked up on that. Shake your head, say yes. That's right. There you go. All right, well, let's go have an altar call. A lot of y'all have already been saved today. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into your life. He's drawn you to grace. You have understanding. Pastor Ward will verify this. Jamie, you're trying to make God's stock the greatest God's stock baptism we ever had, correct? And you're being faithful to the here I am in your moment. But you can't line it up if they don't tell you when they're going to be baptized, right? So all you've requested is for them to die. 270-842-0012. And somebody will answer the phone and go like, it's usually Susie. She'll go, Hillview Heights Church, how can we help you? You say, I need to talk to Jamie Ward. And she'll go, why do you need to talk to Jamie? Because it might just be a prank call. There have been other pastors known to prank call Jamie. Says, I need to talk about baptism. Boom, she immediately gets that number. Jamie, you get that all lined up, so that'll be the best possible confession it could be. Am I correct? If you need to do that, please come and start letting us know now for then, okay? If you know today the Lord's called you into grace, you know that you're supposed to be saved. You know God has just sat there and whispered in your soul, give it up. Then guess what I'd do? I'd give it up and receive Christ. Make sense? Give it up and receive who? Christ. After that, I'd be obedient. I'd be obedient to be baptized. Now, surely today, after we've had to listen to a story of God calling Isaac, his own son, to be sacrificed, surely water baptism cannot be that difficult now. God asks you in your act of obedience to do what? Be baptized.
And then get involved in Bible
study. And then get involved. That's exactly right. He's not asking you to sacrifice. He's asking you to be a confession of the sacrifice. Yeah. And we got people say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't know. I might be embarrassed, really. You are so self-absorbed You look at a holy act of baptism and look at you. It's about Christ in you. Let's get there, church. Christ in you. It's not us in Christ. It's Christ in us. He leads it. Amen? All right, let's embrace what God might do. We've had people get saved today, Jamie. Jamie, the Lord has drawn people into salvation today. Neat. We've had people been baptized today. We've had people been healed today. I know y'all wonder if that goes on here. Yes. It's just we don't put up signs and do bells and whistles every time we see a healing. You know why? It's kind of normal in God's kingdom. Some of y'all need to let go of some addictions that are killing you. That happens. Let go of them. Let me ask you a question. You think if there's a God big enough to stop a knife of a sacrifice, you think that God's big enough to help you quit smoking dope? I do too. You think if God can raise his own son from the dead, he can probably straighten out our stuff? I do. Well, that's what we're dealing with today. Hey, thank y'all for being at church today. Thank y'all for being faithful. If y'all don't mind, give just a little bit of altar call time. The Lord's been speaking. Let him talk to you, okay? If you need to slide out, that's fine. But let's really listen to God for a minute, okay? I don't know if it's late or not. I know we got said what needed to be said. Now we got to see how you're going to deal with it. Make sense? I don't have church in an hour. If you're restless over giving God a little overtime in your week, you need to really see and say, man, what do I really believe in? I'm being honest. You need to check that. What do you believe in? Let's stand together and let God speak. Lord, you have spoken. You continue to speak. You were here long before we got here, and you will be here long after we're gone. So, Lord, we're thankful for being a part of the ride from the here I am to the here ever after. Today, in the name of Jesus, today, in the name of Jesus, if you need to come, receive Christ, your Lord and Savior, I call you to come in the name of Jesus. If you need to be baptized, come in the name of Jesus. You need to pray for that marriage that you're getting ready to quit on, I'd come up here and pray. I want everybody to stay put for just a moment after the altar. Now listen, we're not going to stand here 15 minutes and stare at it. Either God's moved you or I believe God's moved a lot of people. And guess what I believe a lot of people? Jamie, will you talk to this young lady right here? I believe a lot of people, guess what they do? You sit there and ignore what God's saying. And he's saying it like this. Here I am! And you go, what was that? That didn't touch me right. Come on, be saved today. Amen. I believe God will. I believe he is. He's already started right now. Let him have his way in you. Come on, church, in the name of Jesus. Be drawn to this altar. Be saved. Be healed. Be made new. Be strengthened. Be empowered. Be in Jesus. Amen.